Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, job satisfaction is really down for Jeremiah, and his occupational problems result in an overall personal crisis, so bad that Jeremiah wishes he were never born. It seems as if he has almost a suicidal condition, if you want to put it in psychological terms. Hospitalization seems to be the remedy. How does it come that Jeremiah is so depressed? Well, he was doing his job. He was called as a prophet to proclaim the word of God, and that he does faithfully. He is bringing to Israel a message of repentance. Why? Because Israel had become unfaithful. It had forsaken the Lord and worshipped other gods. Turn! You are on the wrong way, does Jeremiah cry. And if Israel does not turn, then there will be war and catastrophes in the future. God's punishment for the sins of his people. Obviously, that is not really a message that endears you to your fellow men. Nobody likes to be told that he's wrong, and nobody likes people that tell you that a disaster will hit you and that you really deserve it. Imagine somebody preaching today that the World Trade Center was just the beginning, that this is God's dealing with America, and that a lot more will come, and you have nothing deserved better. This person would not rate very high on the popularity scale of our society. But Jeremiah was not like the people he preached to. He was faithful to God. They did not want to hear the word of God, but Jeremiah ate it. He lived on these very words, and they were his joy. He did not crave for popularity, to be part of the guys. Instead, he accepted the loneliness which followed out of his special status as prophet. And what is now? It seems as though he was faithful, God was not. What an audacious complaint. Jeremiah is so disappointed about his situation, he feels lonely, forsaken, his message useless, that he starts to accuse God. He can't bring together his situation and what God had said to him earlier. It seemed to him as if God would not stick to his promises, that God is like one of those rivers, one of those wadis, that have water only during the raining season. And then, some months later, you get there to look for water, and there is nothing. That's how God is. Yeah, living water is coming, and then in your situation of distress, you go there, and it's dry and dead. As if God is capricious, playing with his prophet. God's answer to Jeremiah is twofold. It is not God that has to turn because he has become unfaithful. It is Jeremiah who is in need to turn, in need of conversion. Jeremiah has claimed that he was faithful, unlike the people of Israel. But in fact, he was not. He did what he was supposed to do, yes. But in the most important point, he was unfaithful. He had lost his trust in God. Therefore, he is in need to turn to the living God. The second part of God's answer is a new confirmation of Jeremiah's vocation as a prophet. He is to utter what is precious and not worthless, that is, to preach God's word and that alone. Then there shall be fruit. They will turn to him. He is not to turn to them. He is not to adapt himself to the people. And God will be with him. God repeats here almost verbatim what he has said to Jeremiah at the very beginning when he called him as a prophet, that he will strengthen Jeremiah and that his enemies will not overcome him. And God did keep his promise. Jeremiah outlived the destruction of Jerusalem, and some, not all, but some listened to him, and more listened to him after his death, reading the book where his words were written. When we look at Jeremiah, we see things that are not at all confined to his situation a long time ago. If you want, you can call it a case of vocational crisis and how God deals with it. Since Jeremiah's vocation is to preach the word, The similarity to the vocation of the pastor is most apparent, but you can also use it for other vocations. But before you identify yourself with Jeremiah, you must do what Jeremiah does. Look if it is your fault. Jeremiah says, it's not my fault. I'm not one of those who lend money. I'm not one of those blood-sucking capitalists, and that's why the people hate me. And I'm not somebody who borrows money. I'm not one of those who sluggishly pay back their debt, bringing bankruptcy over others. It's not that I am a misanthrope and don't sit with the people because I hate people. So, it's not his antisocial behavior overall that makes him such an outcast. Now, that you have to ask yourself if you think, oh, I'm just like Jeremiah, before you identify yourself. If you have done that, then look at that. Jeremiah suffers isolation and hatred because he faithfully preaches the word. Instead of bringing harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, the word of God instills controversy, discord, and strife. Proclamation is, as a Swedish theologian, Wingren, said, a struggle. God is battling the devil, destroying the devil's kingdom to bring about God's kingdom. And so, in the proclamation, heaven and hell clash together, and there will always be people who object and ultimately reject the word of God. And this very word, although it is powerful to save and more enduring than heaven and earth, this word has the strength and the weakness of the cross. Its strength comes from the victory on the cross. But like Christ in his earthly life, this word can be resisted and reviled by unbelievers. That is the continuing relevance of the theology of the cross. This weakness and seeming inefficiency is a burden every preacher has to bear. If he wants to avoid it for something more powerful and more glorious, he forsakes Christ crucified for some imaginary glory, a fantasy of power, an idol. Jeremiah is here of little faith. In his accusations, he is brutally honest. God seems to have deceived him. God's promises are no good. Man's experience disproves God's word. That is not different from what quite a few people feel today. That is the situation of temptation. There is experience of fruitlessness, lack of appreciation of the work of the pastor, or open hostility. And that can come from the people in the congregation, but it also can come from your fellow pastors and from those whom you expect to back, synodical officials. All that can lead to a severe crisis. So what do you do if job satisfaction is down, when you wonder why you actually accumulated that huge debt and forsake a career just to be somewhere out in the sticks and really nobody cares that you're there? Again, it is a question of faithfulness. First of all, not your faithfulness, but of God's faithfulness. In such a crisis, you won't get another answer than Jeremiah got. A rebuke because of your lack of faith. An admonition to stay in your vocation. And the same old and trustworthy promises you have heard before. And God is not playing with you. He does not play with people. And that he doesn't do that, he has ultimately shown in him in whom all promises are yea and amen, in Christ. By going into death, God has shown that he is dead serious with his promises. Therefore, you can find comfort in all crises in the words of Paul. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.